Wednesday, February 25th, Prophecies and Fulfillment. We had started last week looking at the specific prophecies, and for those that had missed the one about he would be born of a virgin and be called Emmanuel, Donnie's got that loaded up on the website, so you can go to the Wednesday class and listen to those and catch that one that we had last week. Also, CL's classes are being uploaded on there also, so if you haven't missed those are available also on there. So we're going to start with the second one this evening, and the place of where the Christ would be born. If you turn to Matthew, the second chapter, in verses 1 through 6, we have this rendering from Matthew where he says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." The chief priests and the scribes and Pharisees, the Jews, knew where the Christ was going to be born. And according to them, what did they say? What was the name of the city where he was to be born? Bethlehem, the city of who? The city of David. Okay, and that's where the Messiah was going to be born. With Christ being the Messiah. Again, it was be in the genealogy or the lineage of David. So Bethlehem was known as the city of David. And they're going by that. Now, the quote that they give in that is Micah the 5th chapter and verse 2. Micah the 5th chapter and verse 2. "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, for you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." Now this tells about a little something about the Messiah or the ruler. And what's some of the things that's stated here? He's going to be a ruler where? In Israel, okay. His goings forth were from when? From long ago and from the days of? Okay, from eternity. Who naturally is that going to allude to? The Son of God. Who would be the one that was from long ago and that was been from eternity? Would have been the Son of God. Okay? So, taking apart, not just saying Jesus, but God the Father sent His Son from long ago, the one that was with Him, sent Him to be the Messiah, to be the Christ. That was the only sacrifice that would be acceptable to God the Father for the atonement of sins. No matter what other sacrifice we could come up with or anything else, God said it. God said this sacrifice, that's the only sacrifice that will atone. And he says, that's my choice. And that was going to be his son. Okay? So the son from God the Father was going to be the Christ, the anointed one. Okay? It wasn't going to be any other earthly person or anything else. It was going to be his son. Okay? And of course, that son was named, the angel said he was going to be named who? Emmanuel, Jesus, that's who he was going to be named. So, where is Bethlehem?
In Judea.
Okay. Bethlehem is down here. Okay. Down south of Jerusalem. Okay. Now they're going to have a problem with this. And you're going to see the problem that's going to come about. Even though it says he's going to be in Bethlehem, do they attribute Jesus with Bethlehem? No, they don't. So that's one of the problems that they have. Don't know why. They just say the Christ and the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem, but they don't associate that with Jesus. And we'll see why in a little bit. Turn to Luke, the second chapter. Luke, the second chapter, verses 4 through 6. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Now, where did Joseph come from?
Nazareth.
Okay. He came from Galilee, from Nazareth, right? Okay. So he came from there to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. So, where was Joseph's hometown? Nazareth in Galilee. Okay. They come up there, and it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. Okay. We all know, okay, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But that's not what he's associated with. Jesus of who?
Nazareth.
Jesus of Nazareth. When you turn to John, the 7th chapter. John, the 7th chapter. In verse 40, you had where Jesus had spoke to the crowd and so forth. And some of the multitude, therefore, when they heard these words, were saying, "This certainly is the prophet." In other words, this is the Christ. This is the Messiah, the prophet. Others were saying, "This is the Christ." Still others were saying, "Surely the Christ is not going to come from Galilee, is he? Has not the Scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was? So there arose a division in the multitude because of him." Now, what were they saying and what did they attribute? Where was Nazareth at? Nazareth was way up here in Galilee. Joseph goes all the way down to Bethlehem to be registered, and that's when Mary gives birth. They go back to Nazareth after he makes a side trip, because God sends him to Egypt, we'll see. He calls him up out of Egypt, and before he goes back into Judea, he's afraid of the king that took the place there and inherited the place, so he goes back up to Nazareth again. So Jesus is associated and works in this area, and he's associated as a Nazarene, or Nazareth. And that's what they say was his hometown. But where was he born?
Bethlehem.
In Bethlehem. But yet, the Jews, going by genealogy and everything, well, he belongs with Joseph. They're out of Nazareth. So therefore, he didn't come from Bethlehem. And you read the Scriptures and you look at the Scriptures. Surely the Christ is not going to come from Galilee, is he? So you see how they got all confused with that? Micah 5:2 said he's going to come from Bethlehem. Well, Jesus did come from Bethlehem, but most of his life time is associated with Nazareth. Okay? So, I don't see how they could not have got it. Because he was born in Bethlehem. It didn't say that's where he was going to be raised or whatever. Micah 5:2 just says that he's going to come from Bethlehem. He's going to be born there. Okay? So, did Jesus fulfill that prophecy? Okay? But they couldn't see that. Okay, they associated him with Nazareth, and they had great contempt for Nazareth. We'll see that later on, with him being called a Nazarene and one of the other down through here.
Right. When you look, how much did God probably play in these? His parents were up there not to fulfill that prophecy, but to offer sacrifice. And while there, that took place. Is God providence to bringing to fulfillment that prophecy of Micah? But they didn't say, well, they were told that he was the one. We didn't take him to Bethlehem to be born. That was not the reason.
Right. They went there to be registered and to do what they were required to do.
Of God's plan, predetermined plan for the years we talk about, at that precise moment, he brought that to fulfillment about.
Yeah. Well, in order to do that, to go one step further, in order for God to know Well, he knew when the taxing, when they would go there to Bethlehem. So he knew prior before that when the inception should be with the Holy Ghost with the child, so that all that could be done. So there you get into the providence of God, that he arrived at the exact time. Same with John the Baptizer, the exact same time. What was it, 6 months before or three? Which one was it? Was it six? So God knew all of that, and it's all within his schedule. When you look at Matthew, the second chapter, Matthew chapter 2, and in verse 20, well, when Herod was dead, 19, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he arose and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judah in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he departed for the regions of Galilee, and came and resided in a city called Nazareth, that was what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Okay? So you have the layout going there. He was took back to Nazareth, but he was fulfilled, the prophecy of being born in Bethlehem, but also he was back to Nazareth so that that could be, prophecy could be fulfilled also. Okay? So that was one of the things that we looked at in John, the 7th chapter, verses 41 and 42. They discredited Jesus because all they saw and associated him with was Nazareth. He wasn't born in Bethlehem. That's not where he's from. And so they discounted that, and that's why they were still looking. Okay? When you look at again at Matthew, the 2nd chapter, you have the second one, that he would spend a season in Egypt. Matthew, the 2nd chapter. In verse 12, having been warned by God, in the second chapter of Matthew, in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country, but by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." And he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Out of Egypt did I call my son." Where was this found at? Well, you have to go to Hosea, the 11th chapter. Now, as C.L. has mentioned, all of these coincide with happenings that are going on that you wouldn't think anything about. Okay? Why did Joseph have to leave? Herod got tricked by the wise men, and those, as far as where he was, they went another way home. He got, so then what was he doing? He said about to do what? To destroy all the kids in Bethlehem, certain age and down, which he thought that it would fall into that, and it would take Jesus and he would be, you know, killed. God's providence says to do what? Take him, go down to Egypt. But why Egypt? Because God had already said a long time ago in Hosea 11:1, what? "When Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Okay? Now, if you just read Hosea 11:1 without the full understanding, again, it's like Isaiah 7:14 on the virgin birth. It wouldn't mean anything, does it? You sit there and say, well, how did that come about? But we're told in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 2 that it is a fulfillment of the prophecy that we just read. He was there until the death of Herod, that which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Out of Egypt did I call my son." Okay? Now, Jews probably didn't put this together. Okay? So, I guess I'm not trying to be in their defense, but I'm just trying to explain how difficult it was for them to understand some of these passages and to apply them correctly the way they would. I mean, when you read 11:1 in Hosea, what would you, without knowing anything else in the New Testament or anything else, how would you apply it? When Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I have called my son. How would you apply that? Could there have been many a times that Jesus had called someone out of Egypt? Was there some that were fled to Egypt to escape capture and captivity? Could not God have called them out of Egypt? Could he have been talking about that with Hosea? See the difficulty that they had? The only reason that we know is because what? The New Testament. Because Matthew tells us this is what it says. This is the fulfillment. Okay? That it might be fulfilled. Alrighty? So he did spend a season in Egypt. Jesus did do that. So he fulfills that, correct? He was born in Bethlehem. Take that one off. He was down in Egypt. He would spend the time in Egypt and would be called out of it. So now what? You can put a check mark by that. He filled that one. Because what you're going to do is you're going to look at all these prophecies and see which ones are checked off and see which ones Jesus has accomplished or what has been accomplished through him. And then when all those are checked off, then what's the only conclusion logically that you can reach? That Jesus was what? That he was the Messiah, the Christ. Okay? We're also told that there would be a massacre of children that would occur. In Matthew, the second chapter, verses 16 through 18. Again, we're on the backside looking. And then when Herod saw that he'd been tricked by the man, he became very enraged, and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all environs, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the Magi. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. So here Matthew is telling us again, through the inspiration, here's the prophecy that goes along with this. So this isn't so much to do about the person Jesus as far as about what? It's not so much about the person, it's about what? Okay, a time frame. A time frame that this happened. Okay? And it is associated with trying to destroy the Messiah, the King. Of course, Herod was after Jesus to destroy him because he was going to be a king for what? For a physical kingdom. That's what he was scared about. That's what the whole city, we already read about. The people were in an uproar. They were concerned about that. Here's another king being born. King of Israel. So Herod's, well, I'm going to get rid of him. Okay, and this establishes a time frame. If Jeremiah here hasn't happened, then there hasn't been a weeping for the children, then what? Then the Messiah hasn't come yet, has he? Okay. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. When you look at this, this is found, again, he says in Jeremiah, Jeremiah the 31st chapter. Jeremiah 31, verse 15. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Who's Rachel? Can be alluded to who? Okay, Israel. But besides Rachel, could Leah also have been used as Israel? Wasn't some of her children? Huh? Okay, where was the slaughter taking place? Bethlehem. Okay. What was one of Rachel's children? Okay. Benjamin. How close in proximity is Bethlehem of Benjamin in the southern tier? Judah, all down in there. Pretty close, isn't it? Okay. Just something to think about. Okay. Why it uses Rachel? Because when we think of Rachel, you're going to be thinking along in that area. Right? I mean, they could have said children of Israel or whatever, but it uses Rachel. Okay? The children of Rachel because of Benjamin area down there and so forth. Okay? This is a fulfillment that there was going to be weeping and gnashing because of the massacre of the children that they would be destroyed. Okay? Matthew tells us that this is the fulfillment. Okay, so there's another one. That at this time, because of who? Herod is trying to kill who? The Christ, the Messiah. He's trying to kill him. That here's another fulfillment. There's a massacre of the children that went on, trying to get that one killed. Okay? So there's another one that ticked off at the same time. Alrighty? Luke, the second chapter. Verses 9 through 12. Now, you may not think this is much of a prophecy, but it's a foretelling. And any time it's a foretelling and comes about, then I consider it as a prophecy. Okay? Because it's a foretelling. Now, this didn't happen in the Old Testament time, but it is a foretelling. Okay? And an angel of the Lord stood suddenly before them. Who's he before? Verse 8 tells us he's before who? Shepherds that are out in the field stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news for a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David," which city would they have known that to be? Bethlehem. "There has been born for you a what? A Savior, who is? Christ the Lord, the Anointed One. And this shall be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So what was going to be the sign? Okay, specifically, city of David, Bethlehem, going to be wrapped in clothes, a cloth lying in a manger. Okay, or in a crib or whatever where they feed feeding trough or whatever for the animals and stuff. Now, I consider that as a foretelling. Because he told them, the angel did, this is where you'll find him and exactly how. It's a little specific. It just wasn't going in there and finding any newborn. Here's one in a specific place and so forth. When you look at 15, verses 15 through 20, you see that, according to them, in their eyes, was fulfilled. "And it came about when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they had made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them." So according to them, the prophecy was what? Fulfilled. The foretelling was true. Okay? And there was others that believed it. According in their sight, and they were telling others what? "We were told this is where we would find a child, this is our Savior, this is the Christ." Just the same as we'd already looked at before with others that would not leave the temple. Simeon would not leave the temple until he saw what? Or he wouldn't die, I'm sorry. He wouldn't die until he saw what? Until he saw the Messiah, and he saw the Messiah. Here's another one. Now, all of this, again, is going by word of mouth. Okay? The shepherds are going to be telling others by word of mouth and glorifying God for what they've seen. Okay? This is why it's recorded here for us. Okay? To show us that under this situation, this was the Messiah, this was Jesus that was born, this was the child. And he specifies that they found who? They found their way to who? Mary and Joseph. Now stop and think about it. Doesn't say that the angel told them who to look for, did it? Did it say go find Mary and Joseph? What would the shepherds had to go by? To go into Bethlehem and to do what? So basically, when the shepherds go into Bethlehem, where are they going to have to go?
Stables.
Going to have to go to different stables until they found one that had a what? Had a child in it. Okay? Another prophecy is that Jesus would be declared, or the Messiah would be declared the Son of God. In Psalms chapter 2 and verse 7. Psalms chapter 2 and verse 7. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, Thou art my Son, today I have begotten thee. In Psalms chapter 2, verse 7. Just reading that again, you'd have no inclination. Okay? Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. All we can put forth with Psalms is these recordings in Matthew and also in Luke. But Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17. And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, and what was the saying that God the Father saith? This is my beloved Son. Does that go along with Psalms 2:1? This is my Son, I have begotten thee. 17th chapter of Matthew. Of course, 17th chapter, we're at the transfiguration of Jesus. In verse 5, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, what? Okay, listen to him. Luke, the 9th chapter. Luke's account in verse 35, a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Okay? How much weight would that carry with the three coming down from the mountain saying, this is what we heard? That we heard Jehovah speaking, or we heard a voice speaking from heaven saying, Jesus was his Son, believe him. Now, how willing are you ready to hit the streets and to start telling that? How many people do you think you're going to get to believe you? If you heard someone telling you that, what would you think? You'd be dialing up Justin over there, wouldn't you? This is the hard part that they had. So, again, I'm not trying to discredit the Jews, but you know, we can't fault them and say, since we have it all, and say, I don't see why they couldn't see it. I mean, it's just too simple. Okay, they had a rough go. There was enough to convince them, but they couldn't get past the physical part, look at the spiritual part, and they couldn't piece it all together. And the things that were relayed to them, they didn't want to accept it. And then you put on top of that all these people telling you this, to come from down the mountain and said, I heard the voice and said, this is my son. You've got John telling them, I heard and saw the dove coming down, the Spirit resting on him as a dove, saying, this is my son. And then you see all his miracles that he did and God working with him, but yet you still pull up short and say, no, he wasn't the Messiah, but he was a great prophet and God was with him. Teacher, we believe that you are from God, but you aren't the Messiah. That's where they stopped just short. Okay? They saw the miracles. They knew he was from God. They believed he was a prophet. He was a great one, but they fell short. No, he wasn't the Messiah. Okay? He would be declared the Son of God. Now, who made that declaration that he was the Son of Jehovah? The Father did. And he attested to that with what? Signs, miracles, and wonders. Okay? You could have no other greater witness than God the Father, that this was his son. Okay? Any question on these so far? Okay, I'm going to stop there because we're out of time. And we'll start with the next ones then next week. Got about 35 of these to go through. So we'll be through them hopefully before the end of time.